building the tabernacle. In just a moment this morning, we will have the opportunity to all come together, all who call Trinity our church home, to come together and offer our commitments to share resources that will enable us to do the work of ministry in this church and the community in the coming year. You all, if you are actively involved in Trinity, receive a letter and a commitment card in the mail this past week. There also are commitment cards in the bulletin this morning in case you forgot to bring that with you. And today, we will be using the time of the offering for us to do this together as one people. And so in just a moment, we'll be inviting you, rather than the ushers passing plates today, you'll be coming forward with your offerings. You'll see a basket on either side of the space near the altar so that we might bring both our offerings for today, our tithes and offerings that we bring for this day, but also those commitment cards indicating our participation in the work of the church for the coming year, to place those as well. Now, if you need assistance, if you are not able to physically come and place yours in the basket, if you would just simply raise your hand, and an usher would be glad to come by and help you with that. And if you are a guest with us today, I would invite you, if you would like, you can bring your connection card and place that in the basket as a sign of you being with us today and being with us in spirit as we do this together. Or if you would prefer, you may simply remain seated where you are and offer prayers for our congregation that we would be faithful in our responses today to what God is calling us to. I do want to give you an update as well on the roof and the need that Catherine mentioned last week about a roof that's going to have to be replaced. She mentioned last week that our initial estimate for that is in the amount of $850,000. It could go upwards of that depending on timing and metal prices and bids that come in from contractors, but whatever the number is, it is a large number. And one of the things that I shared last week that we read in that story of Exodus 35 is that the leaders did what leaders do. And so I want to share with you this morning that there are some leaders here in our congregation who have stepped up to do that, to be an encouragement to the rest of us. So 13 households have already committed a total of $343,000 toward the replacement of the roof. And so together, all of us doing what we can, remembering that we do not all have the same capacity and quantity, but we do all have the same capacity to offer our best and do what we can. Together, we can make this happen. So would you pray with me now? And after the prayer, you'll begin to hear some music play. And as the music plays, just as you are ready and led, you may come and lay your offerings and your commitments in the basket here. Let's pray. Good and gracious God, for all the ways in which you bless our lives, for your faithfulness to us and to your church throughout the generations, we give you thanks. And we pray that as the church today and as the church here in this community, we might be faithful to the work to which you call us, and that together our resources might make all of that work possible and even more, that through us you would do far more than we could even ask or imagine. So take what we offer now and use it for your purposes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
video.
Well, when I hear the term Spirit-led, I think, of course, of the Holy Spirit, who is promised to all of us who have made the decision to try to follow Christ.
Being Spirit-led is not just important to Trinity. I think it's important to every individual, every family, every community, especially every church, right?
I can't think of a time when Trinity wasn't led by the Spirit. The results are all around us. Walk down the first floor of the education building on Sunday and see all those beautiful kids that are being nurtured and educated and grown in faith. The dozens and dozens of ministries, all for the right purposes, all for reasons of love and compassion that we have done.
I don't think that we could all come together through all different walks of life and have a sense of peace for a moment together if we didn't feel it in our heart and feel like we wanted to be led by something much bigger than us.
I just don't think we can follow Christ without being led by the Spirit.
Well, you know, I think in all honesty, being Spirit-led is simple. We complicate things way too much in this life. We don't have to. Go back to basics. Follow your heart. You know, God put those dreams and desires in there. And it's up to Him to fulfill them. But it's up to us to listen. And we can't do that if we're not Spirit-led.
If we're not led by the Spirit, we might as well close our doors because we're not living into the faith that we proclaim. So without following the Spirit, we will run off the rails and not follow Christ. So I think it's absolutely essential to this body of faith, this body of Christ called Trinity, to each one of us and to us cumulatively as the church that we're called to be.
Led. That's the fourth and final of the four core values of Trinity. And for these 4 weeks, we've been looking at the importance of core values and the fact that it starts with our core. Core values are those things that identify who we are and how we behave. They are at the core, the very being of our identity. And over the last several months, over several months last year, members, leaders in Trinity, as well as the staff team, worked to prayerfully discern, to uncover the values that Trinity holds dear. And we discerned four core values: Christ-minded, big-hearted, bound by love, and Spirit-led. I appreciate Bob and Jen sharing with us their insights about what it means to be Spirit-led, and that's our focus for today. One of the things that Bob said was, if we aren't Spirit-led, then we might as well close our doors because we are not living into the faith that we proclaim. Wise and bold words. Live by the Spirit. Be guided by the Spirit. Walk in step with the Spirit. These are all things that Paul says to us through the letter to the Galatians. In chapter 5, he talks about what it means to be led by the Spirit. And he talks about the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want to be clear. Paul does not think that these are two parts of our human nature that are dueling against one another, being Spirit-led and living by the fruit of the Spirit or living by the works of the flesh. Instead, he thinks these are directions that we can choose. It's not that in our human nature we have a higher, more spiritual self and a lower, more fleshly self, but that each of us individually and as the church, we can choose one direction or the other. To live by works of flesh or to live by the fruit of the Spirit. Again, he shares this in Galatians chapter 5, and I invite you to follow along as we listen to what Paul has to say. Live by the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit. And what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. But I am warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no such law against these things. And those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let me invite you to bow your heads this morning and pray for me in sharing this message with you as I pray for you that the Spirit will speak to you. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. So last year when we were listening to stories told by the people of Trinity, we heard time and again about how Trinity was led by the Spirit. Stories where Trinity, after prayer and discernment, stepped out in courage and bold witness in our community and beyond. One of those stories that we heard has quite literally led us here to the place where we are today. We heard numerous stories about Trinity making the decision to move 20 years ago from our home on 8th Avenue to a new location. You see, Trinity had, I think, 4.6 acres there. And our go-to parking lot was the field of the elementary school right next door. But then when the elementary school needed to expand and build a pavilion, our parking evaporated. And at that point, Trinity had a huge decision to make. I remember listening to Bob talk about that, and he said, you know what? What surprised him was that he thought that as Trinity prayerfully made that decision, the people that would dig their heels in and not want to leave would be the people who had the most history with Trinity. Those who had been there for the longest period of time and raised their families there. On the contrary, he said, it was those folks who really led the way in Trinity moving to a new location. Because those folks were very clear that they wanted others to be able to have the same opportunity that they had to grow in their faith a part of Trinity. I wasn't a part of Trinity then. I had moved away years before, but I remember my mom calling me, and she said, "Well, we had a big meeting tonight, and Trinity voted to move from 8th Avenue to another location." And she said, I actually spoke up and said something. That's my mom, you know. She said, I said that if there was anyone who should want to stay, it would be us, that we had raised our three daughters as a part of Trinity, that our youngest was baptized there, that my dad, she said, my husband's parents were both, had their funeral services at Trinity, and all three of our daughters were married there. But she said, you know, I want others to be able to grow in their faith, and we no longer have space to be able to do that in these facilities. And so I think that we should move because we want to be able to offer Christ to others and for them to be able to come and to raise their families here. You know, courageous, bold in witness, and as Bob said, if we are not Spirit-led, we might as well close our doors because we are not living into the faith that we proclaim. So Trinity searched for a new home and looked at several different locations, but nothing was quite the right fit. And then one day someone called our realtor and said that there was this 67-acre piece of property. And the owners had been married in the United Methodist Church. They weren't a part of a Methodist church at the time. I don't know if they were part of any church. But they really wanted to sell the property to the United Methodist Church. And they were even willing to give us a discount on the property because of that. And so once again, Trinity took this huge leap of faith and explored moving to this property. Perhaps it wasn't just a coincidence. Perhaps it was us being led by the Spirit. Bob again reminded me of something that Dean Martin, one of the pastors, former pastors who served Trinity, something that Dean used to say, because they prayed about this, and they prayed in search of a new piece of property. And apparently Dean said, you know, when we begin to pray, coincidences begin to happen. So 67 acres, all new facilities, moving 4.5 miles to what was then the northwest edge of town. We were about to fall off the edge. Courageous, bold in witness, prayerful. Because if we're not Spirit-led, we might as well close our doors because we aren't living into the faith that we proclaim. Years later, Trinity was in a discernment process again. This time, a team talked about and prayed about and listened for a vision that kept bubbling to the surface. They kept on coming back to being concerned about kids in our community. It also happened to be the year that the state passed legislation saying that if you were not reading, if you didn't pass reading in the third grade, then you would be held back. Coincidence? Maybe. But perhaps Trinity was being led by the Spirit to focus on literacy in our community. Trinity had lots of educators and former educators as a part of the congregation. And Trinity started what became known as Kids Count. And Kids Count was an after-school program looking for a place to have their program, and they found Faith United Methodist Church, and Faith was willing to welcome them to use the facilities. And then later, when Faith United Methodist Church closed, Trinity became one of the churches who would undergird an outreach ministry there in that location. And now, you all know, that location is a mission and outreach solely of Trinity. When Brian Myers was telling me about it, he said, you know, we kept talking about wanting to be involved in the community. And it wasn't like there was a grand epiphany all on one day, but small steps that kept leading us in the right direction. He said one could say it was a bunch of happy coincidences. Coincidence, maybe. But more likely, Trinity simply staying in step with the Holy Spirit. You know, if we're not led by the Spirit, we might as well close our doors because we're not living into the faith that we proclaim. Many of you have also shared stories about Trinity's response a few years ago after a threat from a group, I won't call them a church, down the road who threatened to burn the Quran. And Trinity was led by the Spirit to offer a response to that. And therefore, Trinity and our former pastor, Dan Johnson, along with the interfaith group here in town, offered something called a gathering for peace, hope, and understanding. I've heard that there were about 2,000 people in this space from different backgrounds and different ethnicities and different religions and different races, all gathered here as a response of unity to something that was threatened down the road. Courageous, bold in witness, prayerful, responsive. If we're not led by the Spirit, we might as well close our doors because we're not living into the faith that we proclaim. Yesterday, as people gathered in a quiet neighborhood in Pittsburgh, a shooter went in and killed 11 people and injured several others. Immediately after we saw that on the news, brokenhearted and distressed, Steve texted a friend of ours in town, Rabbi Michael Joseph of Temple Shir Shalom. Michael wasn't even aware of it at that point. Then later in the day, he said that as a part of their children's educational hour this morning, would there be some people from Trinity who could come and be a part of a brief worship service? You heard Lenora say that's where she is now. She's going to be with them for that service at 9:15. This evening, there's another service, a memorial service for the victims being offered at Congregation B'nai Israel. It's at 6:30 this evening, and Steve and I will go and be there, and we hope some of you will be there as well, as a way to show our love and support, our care for those who might feel threatened in our community. Courageous, bold in witness, prayerful, responsive, authentic. If we are not led by the Spirit, we might as well close our doors because we are not living into the faith that we proclaim. There's an author called named Phyllis Tickle. She passed away about 3 years ago, but she was an instructor and professor. She was an academic dean, and ultimately she was the editor of the religion section of the Publishers Weekly. She was well known as a lecturer speaking about religion in America. She reminds us in a book called The Great Emergence that every 500 years there seems to be a radical shift, not only in religion, but in culture, in who we are socially and economically, everything about us. 500 years ago, it was the Reformation. 500 years before that, the Great Schism. 500 years before that, the Great Fall and Decline. And 500 years before that, the Great Transition. so we are in this time in our nation and our world of great cultural shift, this seismic shift in the church and culture. She then also talks about a prophecy or a proposition, I would say, of someone called Joachim of Fior, who lived in the 1100s. And she writes about this in a book called The Age of the Spirit. She says that Joachim said that the first age was the age of the Father. And that was the age from Eden to the time of Christ. And then the second age was the age of Christ, a more Christocentric time from the life of Christ through today. And that now, today, as we make this 500-year shift, we are entering into the time of the Spirit. It's a time when we want to be more communal. We want to work together and pray together. We want to follow the leading of the Spirit. We want to be more attentive and more Spirit-led. And so I would say that the Spirit now is leading us. It led us to this place, and it led us to be engaged in other ministries. The Spirit now is leading us out into our neighborhoods and into our community, into places where we can make an impact for the kingdom of God. The Spirit leads us out of our homes and out of our church buildings and out of our comfort zones. It can lead us away from the works of the flesh, from enmity and strife, from anger and quarrels and dissensions and factions. You know, those works of the flesh seem to be more and more present with every single day in our community and our nation and our world. But when we are led by the Spirit, when we are walking in step with the Spirit, we will not be frightened or intimidated. We will not be stifled or inward focused. John Wesley, an Anglican priest, the founder of the Methodist movement, felt that the Church of England in his day needed revival. And he was convicted that that would only happen if people quit sitting religiously in their pews. So he began to preach with this fiery enthusiasm. So much fire and passion, in fact, that the churches, the parishes where he preached, threw him out of the church and would not let him return. One of the first times that happened in his home church. And so he went right outside the door, and he hopped up onto his father's elevated grave and stood there and preached to the crowd with enthusiasm and passion. But he was still concerned about not preaching in the church. He really thought it was inappropriate and wrong. So on March 29th, 1739, he wrote in his journal this: "I could scarcely reconcile myself to this strange way of preaching in the field. I have been all my life, till very lately, so tenacious of every point relating to decency and order that I should have thought the saving of souls almost a sin if it had not been done in a church." Then just a few days later, he was reading Scripture, and he read the Sermon on the Mount, and it reminded him that Jesus did field preaching. So on Monday, April 2nd, he wrote this: "At 4 in the afternoon, I submitted to become more vile and proclaimed in the highways the glad tidings of salvation, speaking from a little eminence in the ground adjoining to the city to about 3,000 people. And the Trinity, instead of being frightened or inward focused, we choose to be bold in our witness. We choose to be courageous. We choose to be responsive to the pain and heartache of others in our community. We choose to be authentic and stand against dissensions and factions and quarrels and enmity and strife. We choose to be prayerful and to pay attention to where the Spirit is leading us. We choose to walk in step with the Spirit and offer a unique witness to the world, a witness of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Trinity, yes, every day, wherever you go, at all times, I encourage you to be led by the Spirit. Let the Spirit guide you. Display the fruit of the Spirit when it's easy and when it's not. When it's in season and when it's not. When it's welcomed and when it's not. Because Trinity, if we are not Spirit-led, we might as well close our ears. And instead, we choose to follow the Spirit. We choose to be led by the Spirit and to live into that faith that we claim and proclaim. We don't know what the next step is. We don't know where it is exactly that you are leading us. But we do trust in your leading. We trust as we make this shift in history and culture and religion that you are leading us. And we ask that you would give us ears to hear. Give us a heart that is open. Give us minds that are willing to receive and do whatever it is that your Spirit is leading us to do. So guide our steps. And every day, in every way, may we display the fruit of the Spirit. May we overflow as your people, the people of Trinity, with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. In the name of Christ and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray.
Come to the table today, I am reminded that on the night when Jesus gathered with his first disciples in the upper room, at that moment when he knew the work that was before him, and he wanted to leave them with hope and comfort, he shared with them that the Spirit, the same Spirit that had been present with God since creation, the same Spirit that had led Christ in his own ministry, that Spirit, the Advocate, would come to be among and in them, that they might take courage and go out into the world to share the good news that they had come to know through Christ. So we come today, and we remember that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread in that room, and as he shared it with his disciples, he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after the meal was finished, he took a cup and he gave thanks, shared it with them and said, "Take and drink, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do it in remembrance of me." We pray for you. come to this table where you have set a place for each of us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on all of us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup, that in receiving them we might recognize the presence of Christ in these elements and in and among us, and we might rise to go out and live in the world as the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. Make us one through this meal, one with each other, one with You, one in ministry to all the world, until that time when we feast at Your heavenly banquet. May all honor and power and glory be Yours now and forever. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come forward at this time and prepare the elements for sharing with the congregation. Here in Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table of communion is always an open table. This is Christ's table, and He invites all of us to receive of His grace. And so whether you're here for the first time or you're here all the time, we invite you to participate in this time of the service. You can come to the pair of servers that's in front of your section, receive bread, and after receiving the bread, take it and dip it into the cup. After you have received, you can return to your seats. Or if you'd like, there are prayer rails up here where you can come and spend time as well. Everything is ready, and we welcome all of you to the table.
Thank you.
we have a new name tag for each and every one of you. Now, some of you have name tags that you cherish, and you think, why do I need a new one? Well, because we all want to be in this together. And as we think about moving forward and being Spirit-led, our logo, our new logo that identifies Trinity, is the triquetra. That's a symbol representing the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity. And as we think about being led forward, that's a wonderful image for us. Our old logo, you may remember, had the cupola of the building. It led us here to build these facilities. But now as we think about going into the next chapter and going out, we embrace this triquetra. So everybody gets a new name tag. Hold on to your other one as a memento at home, but embrace going forward as one body with our new name tags. They're on the left when you go out. On the right when you go out, there's a table that has some other things with the new Trinity logo. And for those of you who have turned in a commitment card today, we invite you to take one of those items as a gift from us per household. A t-shirt or a hat or whatever it might be, as a small token of our appreciation for making a financial commitment for 2019. There are also others available for purchase, so you can have more than one per household or get them as you like. But we invite you to go out as we embrace the new Trinity and the Trinity logo and the triquetra and being Spirit-led. So as you go, may you go, knowing, and this is our Trinitarian benediction, knowing that the love of God is with you, the grace of Jesus Christ is given for you, and the power of the Holy Spirit will strengthen you always. Go in peace.